Every day, Bill Frank...
We're going to be doing one thing and one thing only.
...talks with the best guests in America about business.
You mean business?
Monkey business?
Are you ready to get down to business?
All right! Everybody's here and that means we can get down to business.
Entertainment.
Entertainment.
The entertainment capital of the world.
What kind of entertainment?
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Sports.
Game on.
A grueling test of strength, speed, and stamina.
Wow, just like in the pros.
And the local community.
The rage in local radio.
Find out what's going on locally.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time now for the Bill Frank Radio Show on News Talk 1520 KVTA. Now, here's your host.
Bill Frank.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to the Bill Frank Show on KVTA News Talk 1520. You can also hear me streaming on the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. The Bill Frank Show is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to ask a question or if you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 289-1520. Or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-289-1520. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is health and politics. Each of my guests will share his or her perspective on one or the other of these topics. My next guest is the independent contender for the U.S. House of Representatives from the newly formed 26th Congressional District that includes much of Ventura County, excluding Simi Valley. We'll discuss her platform and her campaign. Linda Parks is the Ventura County Supervisor for District 2, which includes a number of different cities. You know it if you live there. Supervisor Parks previously served as Planning Commissioner, City Council Member, and Mayor for the City of Thousand Oaks, California. Supervisor Parks received her Master's Degree in Urban Planning from the University of Washington and her Undergraduate Degree from Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. Linda's been married for 27 years, has four children, and their ages are ranged between 18 and 24 years old. Joining me in the studio, hi Linda, how are you doing today?
Hi, I'm doing well. Thank you.
Well, thank you for coming in and thank you for sharing your platform. I just want to jump right into it right now because if we take a look at the presidential primaries, it's pretty obvious that the voters have their minds on one thing, that it's not the social issues. So God, guns, abortion, and gays, they're all off the table. Really, people are focused on the economy. So that's where I'd like to start with you. If you are elected to the U.S. House of Representatives, what are some of the things that you're going to do to bring more jobs, more employment to Ventura County?
Thank you for that question. You're right. That is the number one topic that we should be addressing. But oftentimes what we're getting are a lot of these wedge issues. And it's because it's not being focused on by Congress that we're not getting much progress in that realm. I have a 10-point job plan that I have, and it's on my website, sendlinda.com. And if you'd like, I'd like to go through some of those.
Just
now.
A couple of them, sure.
Okay. One important topic, I think, is being able to increase job training in those sectors of the economy that are growing. One of the things I did at the Board of Supervisors was I was able to get some funding specifically to an adult ed program so that those students who had actually graduated and got certified in healthcare professions could get on-the-job training. Because sometimes you can get your degrees, but without that actual job experience, you can't get a job. So that kind of on-the-job training has done a lot of benefits both for the students who graduated and are being able to now work at a wellness clinic. But that wellness clinic is now helping the community also. Other proposals I have is to make sure that we support our naval base. It's really important. We're facing some potential cutbacks, and they are a huge job sector for our economy. But in addition to that, they are protecting our national security, mm-hmm. a really important base because it does allow for missile test firing in a location that is needed for our country. I also believe strongly we need to protect our agricultural viability in our county. It is a major economic generator, and there are things that we can do to assist. In addition to that, I look at ways that we can support our small businesses. And we can do that as we have at the county through some streamlining and reducing some of the impediments that get in their way.
All right. Well, let me stop
just,
here.
I would just say, finally, education's a huge one, too.
All right.
And we're suffering, our state particularly is suffering with a lack of prioritization at the state level so that we can have accessibility to higher education. And right now it has become unaffordable, really, to middle-class Americans. And it's something that I think needs to be addressed.
All right. Well, there are lots and lots of things I want to talk about in that answer. But let's go back and let's talk about education, since that was the last one freshest on our minds. 50% of the graduates coming out of college this year are not going to find a job in this economy. If elected to Congress, you're going to be faced with this high youth unemployment that's out there. And, yes, you mentioned your first point, job training. But where's the money going to come from to retrain these people who are just recent college graduates to find jobs in the new economy?
I think part of the problem is we have large employers here in Ventura County that have openings. Semtech has hundreds of positions open. ValueClick, hundreds of positions that are open. But they're not finding applicants that have the mathematics and engineering and science skills. And so to me, that's a really important thrust that we need to have with education, so that we are actually having our students leaving colleges with the skill set that's needed out there. Healthcare is another one, as I mentioned before. So I think that's a really important factor, whether that's getting back into the workforce or being able to have employers incentivized to provide that training. Another thing that we've done in Ventura County is we've put together a program. Instead of giving welfare recipients, you know, hard, cold cash, we give the money to the employer who hires that welfare recipient and offers him the job training. And we're finding that to be successful, and these people are getting off entitlements and getting empowered. And it's helping the employer because they can hire employees for half off and get them trained. So there's paradigm shifts out there that we can do to assist from the federal level the job recruitment ability of the employers.
All right. So, Linda, that's working on the county level here in Ventura County. Is that scalable to the national level? Can we get that accomplished? Will it work in Hawaii, New York, Michigan, as well as it works here in Ventura County?
The program that I mentioned is one that comes from, entitlements that come from the federal government. Other things we can do is provide tax incentives to emerging technology. I think that's really important, too, and helping startups. And then also, I feel strongly that veterans need a helping hand. When they come back, they need to be able to transition into society, and we owe them that debt. So I like the idea also of providing tax incentives to employers who hire veterans.
All right. Let me challenge you on two things, if I can. And the first is the high-tech jobs. Everybody says we want high-tech jobs. We want clean jobs. We want green jobs. Here's the dilemma. Here's the paradox. If you take a look at Instagram, which was just purchased by Facebook for $1 billion, how many employees does Instagram have? It has exactly 13. Now, think about that. 13 employees for a $1 billion company. When General Motors reached $1 billion back in the 1950s, they had over 35,000 employees for a $1 billion company. High-tech jobs, no matter how successful, are not the big employers that everybody makes them out to be. That generally speaking, you can run a Google with far less employees than you can run a U.S. Steel. Are these really meaningful jobs? Are they going to come in meaningful quantities that's going to make an impact on unemployment in Ventura County?
Well, I agree with you. I'm not looking at trying to subsidize large employers, but actually incentivizing small businesses and getting people into business. And to me, that's one of the largest contributors actually to our tax base and helping that economy get going. But you're right, it's not just high tech. I also feel strongly, and this is another point in my job plan, is that we need to invest in those type of infrastructure projects that are needed. Now, there are, you know, they talk about the high-speed rail and all that. That's not necessarily a huge need. What is a huge need I see are substandard bridges that have been identified. Or you look at the Sacramento Delta. If there's an earthquake in the Sacramento Delta area, or when there is one, that could knock out water to Southern California for years. The fact that we aren't investing money into assuring that we have a water source and the Sacramento Delta doesn't crumble in an earthquake, you know, to me, that is a travesty. We need to be able to invest in those substandard bridges, and that means jobs, too.
And they do, no doubt. Let me just be clear on this. Our water here in Southern California, does it come from the Sacramento Delta or does it come from the Colorado River?
Our water here, and particularly in the east part of Ventura County, is imported, and that water is imported, and it goes through the Sacramento Delta.
All right, good. Now, we're talking about infrastructure. My guest is Linda Park. She is a candidate. She's an independent candidate for the U.S. House of Representatives from the newly formed 26th Congressional District. Linda, you mentioned infrastructure. Everybody talks about infrastructure, but we've heard this song before. In fact, we heard it in 2008 in the presidential election. And the term then was shovel-ready projects, that we were going to get all of these bridges, we were going to fix all of our ailing infrastructure with shovel-ready projects. To date, very few of those projects have actually come to fruition. Two parts to the question. First of all, are there enough shovel-ready projects or infrastructure projects for us to tackle? And then secondly, aren't those just short-term job creators anyway? Because as soon as a bridge is fixed, that bridge is good for another 10 years. You don't need to go back and fix it. Your thoughts on that?
I think what you're referring to is the IRA stimulus funds, and the idea of shovel-ready projects, to me, wasn't based on the priority and needs. And I think that gets back to what I was first saying, is that, you know, there are, you know, the wonderful high-speed rail projects out there that are turning into boondoggles and things. There are shovel-ready projects that resulted in roads getting paved that weren't needed because it was shovel-ready. What I'm talking about is having people in Washington, D.C. and in Sacramento that are going to prioritize those projects that are needed here in our country. And there are enough, because believe me, we have failed to invest in our infrastructure, and that's why we have bridges that are substandard, why we have issues with water conveyance. So to me, it's not are there enough projects, but which are the ones that we need to prioritize. And to me, public safety comes first and foremost, and ensuring quality water is one of those.
My guest is Linda Parks. Linda, I'm going to shift gears on you for just a minute, and let's talk about the divisive campaigns that are being waged around the country, and really the divisive nature of the U.S. House of Representatives right now. There's real political schism between the Democrats and the Republicans, and it comes out very nastily in politics. You are right now the victim of some of that nasty political rancoring that's going on. Talk to us about this. If you are elected to the House of Representatives, first of all, why would you want to go into that sort of an environment? But secondly, once you're in there, what are you going to do to help make it better?
It's true. My understanding from what I've read is I am the only campaign in the country that the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee is focusing all its resources on, the only one in the country. And this million-dollar attack campaign, as well as that of Julia Brownlee, is a very dishonest smear campaign. And I think it is indicative of just what you're saying, that kind of partisan politics that all of a sudden puts party before country. And why am I running? That's why I'm running. I'm running as an independent, because I believe the Democrats and Republicans need to work together. That's not happening. I'm also running because I believe special interest money has too much influence in Congress. And as a result, I am running with no special interest money, no PAC money, no union money, no corporate money, no party money, obviously. And to me, that is a clean campaign. How else are we going to be able to change Washington if we keep putting the same kind of politicians who take special interest money and don't vote for the people, but actually for the special interest? So I'm running because I am motivated. I'm not running just because I want to climb the rung. I'm motivated because I believe Congress is broken.
One final question, Linda. If you are elected to the House of Representatives, you would be the only independent in the entire 435 members of Congress. That's going to put you in an awkward position. You're not going to have any cocktail parties to go to because the Democratic parties won't invite you. The Republican parties won't invite you. How will you bridge that gap?
I think actually I'll have more influence as an independent, the only independent in the House of Representatives, than a freshman Republican or Democrat walking in the door, particularly because we have a very closely divided Congress, and they're going to need my vote. And the fact that I am willing to support any bill, whether it's a Republican or a Democrat's bill, if it's a good bill, I'll support it. They know they can get my vote. I think that's going to give me a little bit more influence than just a freshman Democrat or Republican. But most importantly, I like the fact that I don't toe the party line, that I can vote for what's best for my constituents, what's best for my county, what's best for my district, what's best for the country. And I don't think that's the case because of the influence of the parties on the members of Congress.
My guest has been Linda Parks. She is an independent candidate for the U.S. House of Representatives from the newly formed 26th Congressional District. Linda, thank you so much for coming in. And if you missed all or part of my interview with Linda, remember you can find it up on my website, brainstormingonline.com. I'll be back with my next guest after these words from our sponsors.